So what are you drinking today?
I feel like this is how every one of our podcasts is going to start now. Sorry, everyone. This is called Fountain Beer from one of mine and Eric's favorite breweries called Superflux. And they're amazing. They do a lot of hazy IPAs, but this one is, I'm not sure, but it is creamsicle flavored. And you should see the color of it. It's bonkers.
The last podcast, I have so much energy. I have to match that every time.
I mean,
now.
That was last time you were you're off the charts.
Can't wait to,
it was just this, a lot.
So I have a new tactic now in which I 100% of the time need to watch the show with Deanna. I had her take notes this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so much better because she writes down everything I say. She's very good at it. And awesome. My notes are extensive for this episode.
Okay.
Very extensive.
I'm ready. And you know what, Cole? I was going to watch this episode. I was going to do it, and I didn't. But I think I'll remember.
Oh, I hope you do, because lot happens.
This is going to be fun, because you can take me through it.
That's what's happened the last five times.
I know, but this time... yeah, I guess that's true. Well, let's get into it.
You want to get into it right away? No, about magnets?
maybe at the top of the podcast, I should throw out this little tidbit. Please review our podcast. Five stars would be great. Write a little tidbit. You could even just say hi. Doesn't matter. Mm. Let us know your name. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And subscribe, please. That would be great. We would love it.
We love those subscribes.
Yes, we do.
We are on episode 6, Bachelorette Canada, season 1 of 1 with Jasmine Lorimar. And this is one of the craziest episodes, in my opinion. I don't know if a lot of people feel the same way that I do about it, but it's nuts. The thing is the show is getting more emotional because there's less people. You have very intense ties to each guy for the most part. And so it's just getting more serious. But the situations that I can tell the producers are putting you in are getting weirder and almost in a way out of touch. And it's just an interesting dynamic. And I have so many comments on it. I can't wait to dig in.
Let's dig in.
Some new things happen in this episode that I assume due to Deanna's reaction to me reacting to it are standards. But anyway, you say the quote, "It's getting very real now." And then it immediately goes to a video of a snake nearly striking a man's face.
Yeah,
and it sets the tone for the whole episode. You're just la-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's getting very real now. And it's just this dark, there's always this dark ominous. I don't know.
I know what you mean.
It's incredibly scary. The boys arrive in Morocco. Drew has some great quotes in this. His first quote is, "I'm just biding my time to get emotional." And Noam Cap comes in. He announces that there's going to be 3 different dates this week, but only 4 roses. Like, 2 people are going to go home this week.
Yes, yes.
So it's getting a little bit more hectic. And I had no idea this was a thing. And then they explained that there's going to be a 2-on-1 date, which all the guys go, "Oh, shit." And I'm like, they know what this is? Like, they just immediately understood. And I don't know what that is. A group date is a group date, and those are awkward for their own reasons. But a 2-on-1 is going to be interesting. So
in the show, normally they would choose 2 kind of like polar opposites, or Chris was still there, it would probably be like Drew and Chris. That just seems to be what production chooses to do, is put 2 people that are kind of pitted against each other. In my situation, obviously, it was like the world traveler, Jasmine Jasmine is, but then she wants someone stable. It's like, which one's she going to choose?
Benoit gets a 1-on-1 date, which is fantastic. I'm excited to see that guy try to open up. Because I love Benoit. He's light of the show. He's very fantastic to watch. So anyway, immediately it starts, and I'm having flashbacks from Jamaica of you guys adorning the native cultural wear and dressing up as Marrakeshians.
And we're wearing like traditional Moroccan kind of clothes. Or not, they're not traditional. I wouldn't say that we're wearing traditional clothes, but we're wearing
not super traditional, but like the common wear there.
Just wait until you get to next episode, Cole.
Oh boy. I do not like how you guys are dressed. I just put a note down and said, don't like how they are dressed. I like the clothing, but it's just.
I understand.
I find it interesting. I wrote this down as a question, and I'm realizing it's not 100% true about the show, but I've noticed that you guys will go on a date in which you're like, ooh, it's going to be fun to go explore about town. And then there's like a scene of you guys walking on a street, and then you go into a restaurant, and the restaurant is cleared out. I've never gone on a first date that was just boom, boom, we're in a room, having dinner, hanging out, talking.
I'm assuming it has a lot to do with privacy. Like, they can't be having other people's faces on a TV show. There were other people in that restaurant, though. We were in a separate room. And I will say, a little fun fact about that date, an electrical fire began in that room, and we had to evacuate. And then we came back. It happened twice.
It was just
the
too
second
hot.
Time, the second. Honestly, I have such like a poor memory of this for some reason because there was so much going on. But I remember the second time we came back, the police came and they were trying to fine us for not having permits or something, even though we did. And there was like Morocco. They kind of kept
trying
it
to shake you down.
Well, not me. The production. Like they went through hell in Morocco. It was not a fun experience for them to film there. It was just nightmare after nightmare. And but I mean, I think it was a beautiful place to film. I was kept in the dark about it. They didn't put me through the stress of it. I had no idea really the extent of it all. But equipment being kept in customs, being asked for money to get it back. Just so much crazy stuff going on there. But anyway, so yeah, electrical fire. We had to leave. We had to come back another time. That date actually spanned over two different periods, I believe. It's like so crazy because I can't remember.
But my question is it weird that you're just one-on-one? You're kind of just isolated rather than in a public place every first date through the 10th date.
I think that it would have been more weird in the bubble that we were in to be around people because we were isolated from everything. Like, I couldn't imagine being around other people that weren't part of the crew. Like, nah. It actually surprisingly felt normal, but just probably based on the situation that we were in.
You're going to go experience nightlife alone, and you go to a bar and you're having some little fun little cocktails and belly dancers happen, and immediately Benoit starts to dance, and
I go, my God.
This is what we need. Like, we need more guys like Benoit. Like, there needs to be two or three Benoits per season to just make it fun and not stressful or annoying, because I want to like Drew is funny because he's such a dick. I don't like him as a person, but it's like, it's entertainment because he's such an asshole.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to get into this because this guy really shows his chodeness, his chodacity. Oh, he does so many things on so many levels. But let's not get into that right now, Jasmine. I know you want to hear me talk about Drew all the time. But let's talk about Benoit and how fantastic and fun he is. Because that date just looks like a lot of fun. And you're kind of like you're like a lion tamer with him. Because you'll initiate a kiss and he's like... And then he just tries to like get in there and just like get in. Like, it's just too much. And you kind of reel him in and you're like, no, no, stop. It's like a dog and you have peanut butter on your mouth. He's like, he's just going at you because he is aggressive. If you kiss him once, he's like, it's Pandora's box. And he's just in your throat. He's throating you.
Stop saying that. It's so gross. Jesus.
I love it. So Benoit says future wife, and my tail just goes, oh. I just don't like that.
I know you hate it. And you know what? You're right to hate it.
It's so creepy.
It's a weird thing that became normal in that world.
I noted that he seems really fun and down to earth, and there's some chemistry, but I'm really wondering if he can actually have a legit conversation, because it seems like filler statements that are just sweet, and they seem like he means them, but they're still filler statements, and I'm going, that's probably... He just doesn't speak the best English. So
that's
I can't really get into depth this.
It's true. Like, communication was sometimes a struggle, but it was mostly, I think, due to the language barrier. Like, there was actually 100%. A language barrier there for us.
You eat something on this date.
For the first time on camera.
It's like a red... Yeah. and it's like a red circle.
It was a cut of a watermelon. Like it was a it was watermelon cut in a circle as garnish on the. What did you think?
Oh,
it was
the drink. I thought it was a Baby Bell.
Yeah, but like, I ate it with
Baby
the
Bell
wax on
wax
it.
Wax and all. Yeah, she's yeah. full
Morocco,
wax in it.
Morocco, in Morocco, they love garnishing their fruity cocktails with a big old Baby Bell.
A Baby Bell, nothing better. You also ask a question: where do you want your life to head?
I say those words.
Yeah, you said those words.
Where do you want your life to head?
Yeah, you say some awkward stuff where I can imagine it's just like, you know, you don't even think you would ever say that, but you do. It's just your heat of the moment stuff. But he responds in two words. He says, family, kids. Like it's like an abbreviated finished sentence. It's family, kids. I just love it. He's so cute. So we're on to the next date, and I believe this is a two-on-one, and Drew announces this one. And the little fun little quote that you have is, love happens when two become one.
Ooh, I love the Spice Girls.
So it's Thomas and Mike. They are selected. Vastly different people. Thomas is a world traveler and a model. And then Mike's never left Winnipeg. Drew has a quote as it's announced, and Drew says, Thomas basically lives out of a suitcase. I just don't think that's marriage material. like he is marriage material. I love it. It's so funny. And Drew also has another quote that says, because he doesn't get selected for the two-on-one date, mm-hmm. and he says, I don't worry about things I don't worry about.
Is that for real?
This guy, he could write a book. Kevin Fire says right before they go off on the date, he says, ooh, it's the body versus the face.
Oh yeah, what the hell.
These guys are so fucking weird. They're all getting so weird. Everyone's bad or really good, like everyone's showing them their true self.
And everyone's going a wee bit crazy. They're like going on what? 1 month of isolation at this point?
It's showing how little it takes to just break someone emotionally. Yeah. So anyway, you guys head out to the La Paz Desert. I was like, this is where the date is. What the fuck is going on here? So I knew as soon as you arrived, I go, this isn't a date. This is you essentially just having a quick conversation with both guys and then picking one over the other. It was just not a date.
Yeah, no, you're very right about that. And even the setting itself is very like, this is where we'd go to say goodbye to someone and, you know, put them in the ground and essentially...
Put him in the ground. Like, I'm wondering, did Thomas die? Because that guy, so Thomas is obviously selected to be removed. He's Dunzo Washington. And there's a scene after he is deselected, and all the guys are hanging back at the hotel, and they're all talking about fucking who knows what. And they look over, and a tenant at the hotel, just some random 45-year-old man with like a family and everything, just stumbles in. And grabs a suitcase and just kind of walks out. And I'm like, okay, is he leaving or did they like murder this guy out in the desert? You guys get there. I want to continue talking about the setting. You are sitting on logs?
Well, first of all, we ride in on camels.
Again, it's like, okay, they were on a... I couldn't even remember the two guys riding the camels. It's just you were on it for about 24 milliseconds, and then you're off the camels.
Exactly.
And I never saw the camels again.
Exactly. We rode in on the camels, and I do recall enjoying myself. But it was supposed to be... I mean, it was a sad date, because I was saying goodbye. I wasn't allowed to have fun. So I do remember. I couldn't help but have fun as I'm riding in on this camel. Like, hello, I'm on a fucking camel in Morocco. Yeah. Like, what? So I was kind of smiling... enjoying myself, and I was instructed to stop smiling. It wouldn't have suited the mood of the date. It didn't suit the mood of the date. I shouldn't have been happy, but I couldn't help it. I was riding a camel.
The thing is, you really are stronger than me, because if I was on that, even the most serious things ever, if I'm having a serious conversation with someone, eventually I will tell a joke. I would have, if Thomas was the person I was, you know, not selecting or whatever, sending home, I'd go up and go, yeah, So the thing is, no.
You know,
I would
what,
have done
Cole,
something.
You
held
say
your
that,
composure.
No, shush it. You say that now. You know, when you're in it, it's not all fun and games. It actually doesn't feel like a game. It feels like real life. And it is.
I know
it is for us in that moment. So there's no way. You. It's so easy for people on the outside watching to be like, oh.
I would
like,
have done this. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
If you're in it, there's no way you'd be like,
you know
joking.
How I do know this, though?
What?
Because you start really showing your little sassy side, because I've had arguments with you where we're not joke arguing, we have like a little tiff, especially on the road trip.
Did we
but
fight?
You get this kind of, I remember, I don't think we ever had fights, we had like disagreements, but you get very, you're very fun and bubbly all the time, and then you can be kind of serious, and you get, you're so good at just snapping back at someone and forcefully and direct without being mad, like being like, ooh, like you don't lose your temper, you just, you turn into this like mother figure who just like shines, like you just, you do it to Kevin later on, and it's just fantastic to watch. So I know you can snap into a different mode. And my thing is, I don't turn into that in what you do. I turn into, I make it a joke. That's
yeah,
what I
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, 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 that's true.
So I'm just glad we've come to the conclusion that I'm right. Anyway, so the real difference between these two men is that Mike is boring and Thomas is too nomadic. This is really,
you're not wrong.
Which is really what it is. So the other thing I noticed with these guys is they're having these kind of last ditch efforts to sell themselves to you, conversations with you.
That must be so awful for them.
That's
as if they
want
to be there. They don't want it. They'd probably
they're just like,
rather take one of those Campbells and ditch it.
Yeah, they're like, I want to get the fuck out of here. If I got selected for that date, I would just be like, I'm fucking
I'll volunteer
I'm
to leave.
Yeah, I volunteer as tribute. This is stressful and weird, and I don't want to start a relationship by competing for someone's love. To
fair
a point
enough.
You compete with yourself.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you go on the show, you know you're going to do that. But it's true. It is a weird way to begin a relationship.
It's tricky. I would imagine it puts a lot of weird pressure and like history. You immediately already have history with someone that you would have in a similar situation with like an ex that you got back together with.
Yeah.
You already have this kind of tumultuous past no matter what, because there, of course,
true.
Was drama in it.
And
right?
It's like, imagine being with someone, you already know their ex exists, right? Like, that's like a thing that you know exists, but it's not in your face. Imagine being with somebody who you spent time with and watched the whole entire relationship with their exes or ex or whatever develop right in front of your face. And then you're like with that person. Like, it would be so weird.
So
I'm so
weird.
Lucky that I didn't ever have to be in that position.
Yeah.
I would 100%. Not have been able to handle it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The other thing I noticed about these last-ditch conversations is that the guys, they're pouring their hearts out to you. And they keep saying, both of them do this, they keep saying, I think I want to do this, and I think that would you and I would be good together. And I'm going, ding, 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 say I fucking know.
Mm.
Tell her that you're sure about your feelings for her.
Mm-hmm.
That I mean, if you're a psychopath, you would do that. Drew fucking probably did that shit.
Or if they
but
just
these
didn't,
guys actually have feelings for you.
Yeah. I don't know that they did.
I don't. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's been like, what, a month?
Yeah, exactly. And
they're supposed to know that you're the one for them for the rest of their life?
Exactly.
It's craziness.
Yeah, yeah.
It's getting juicy. Like, it's getting stressful and more serious, but more juicy.
That's true.
And also, again, this proves, because you guys are in a vat, like a wasteland, there's no structures or anything dividing anyone. You guys are in this weird triangle about 30 yards away from each other, having intimate conversations. And while you're talking to Thomas, Mike is just like, all right, so I'm going to
watch it
tonight.
All go
and,
down.
Okay. And he's just like trying not to look. Or it's so weird. It's so weird how they put this together. They couldn't put you guys on the other side of a dune or something.
It was
so weird.
It was so windy. Maybe they put us in that little divot because it was so freaking windy. That's all I remember.
Both guys have pretty heavy conversations. Mike has a much heavier conversation and ties it into who he is as a person. And I 100% believe him because, my mom had cancer and it can go either way. You know, I could not have a mom right now and I'd be a completely different person. And when he told me that, I was like, okay, I could. The people I know who lost their parent around my age to cancer or something like that, they are very much like him, in which they're like, I want my life to have structure because I want to be there and I want to know what's happening and I don't want to be caught off guard by something because life can be so hard to predict. And so I just really connected with him on that.
I know. His story was so heartbreaking. Oh, my God. And you could tell that it was a lot of unresolved emotion. And he had been channeling a lot of his grief into helping other people, which is like the most amazing thing that you can do. But I also think that he was not. He wasn't always taking care of himself, which is like, you know. But yeah, that was a very eye-opening moment. And this is exactly what you said, that it really starts getting heavy. Like the fun part of watching the show starts kind of coming to an end now.
Yeah, right, it's getting serious. I'm going to have to really start trying on the comedy, because there's not a lot naturally for me to react to. But I did think of a way to describe this date. And I said, this date is as much a date as this desert is an ocean.
Wow.
It just isn't at all. This is just, you guys are just having brutal conversations, no matter whether it's heartfelt or not. They're brutal. They're intense. And one of them just gone. Like, he is just toast.
Yeah.
That was brutal. I thought, you know, three camels in, two camels out.
I have hiccups.
Your hiccups, great. Thomas, don't be down on yourself. Just because Jazz doesn't want your exact lifestyle, it doesn't mean anyone else wouldn't.
And it was kind of interesting, because it was like I was also coming to those realizations myself, because before I went and did the show, I was spending so much of my time just without any direction at all, just winging it. Like, any time that I could leave and go on a trip, I would go. But it's because I was running away from my real life. But I was also pretty young. Like, I mean,
I feel like a lot of people go through that. They have the opportunity to travel. I mean, why wouldn't you take that? It's easier to escape.
But it was a bit more than that, though, because I really was trying to escape reality. Mm. I didn't like being where I was. I was just kind of sad when I was home, and then happy when I was gone. And then the idea of having to go back was always really depressing. And it was just a cycle. Any time that I could leave just to make myself feel better, I would. And I was like realizing through this process, as much as I was learning about these guys, I was also really learning about myself. Think about it. I'm in an interview room talking to the camera, talking to the producers, sometimes 4 hours a day. Therapy. That it was therapy. The whole entire show was literally me breaking down every pattern of my dating life, every reason why I want someone like this or someone like that, why I've made these decisions. Like, I came out a completely different person. I really feel that. And I think a lot of it was because I worked through so much. Anyways, that's a big reason why I said goodbye to Thomas.
Is there a Black Mirror episode that closely ties into the psychological trauma that The Bachelorette or Bachelor does to people? I mean, in all aspects of it. I feel like there would be a really good Black Mirror episode in which they show you like the dystopian side effects of it.
I mean, I felt like I did experience a little bit of trauma, but I also felt like I experienced traumatizing, a lot of but you eventually, positive,
yeah, like you, know, you, you got a good thing out of it. But still, like, that's a Black Mirror episode, in my opinion. Like, you telling me that you are talking to him 4 hours a day, I'm like, holy fuck, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, if you sculpted this into an episode, it would be a really good episode on Black Mirror. Anyway.
That's true.
So, Drew has a quote when the guys are back at the hotel and they're talking about the two for one. Drew says, Mike's coming back. He's just more similar to me. A random man just walks through and grabs a suitcase, and the guys just stare at him ominously. They go through and they announce the last group date, and it's just weird because Kevin gets selected for the group date, and he's bummed the fuck out about it. And it's like, you already knew someone was selected for the one-on-one date, and you weren't it. I'm like, it is the way it is. You're playing, you're in this whole thing. How do you have jealousy and this whole thing, but it's like, I'm liking Kevin less and less and less every time he speaks. On this group date, I kept pausing and looking at Deanna, and I go, one less point for Kevin Fire. One less point. I'm like liking him less and less the more he dives into how he deals with situations and stuff like that.
I will say, I think, just like to get it out there right now, I think that he's a much different person now than he was then, which of course everyone is. It's been 5 years, but there's been a significant change in the way that he, I think, deals with, or at least even in the span of time that I've known him, you know, anyway.
I mean, anyone who goes through something that's this like intense mm-hmm. on their emotional
yeah.
everything, you're going to change. And I'm happy for that guy. That's great. But how he's acting on this group date is just brutal. He's the most jealous. He just seems awkward. Like he's in another world on this date. It is weird to look at. And I am just liking Mikkel more and more. I just love, he's just so sweet. Like even mm-hmm. if he doesn't end up with you in the end, I'm just so happy just to see him just being himself. I wish him all the best. He just mm-hmm. seems like such a gem of a person. Mm-hmm. Thus far, you know, you never know what's going to happen next episode. I thought Kevin Fire was the fucking tits, you know, two episodes ago. And now he's kind of a boob. Like, I don't really like him very much, you know? Anyway, Drew quote coming up here. This is a full quote. It's a long one. Oh, I'm still a businessman at heart. And it's still respectable to be a prick. The more interesting a man I am, the better I do. After this, I'll just walk into a room and it's really good just for my business.
He oh was God, literally yes, this talking was, this about... This was being... this. He didn't know he was being everyone. Recorded during this time, Cole. Because you know how like most of the time they know the cameras are there. Like there's like...
Yeah.
They know when they're going to be sitting around chatting. At this point, he didn't. And that was very...
And all
Very
the guys
sad.
Are just going, I feel like all the guys knew he was being recorded. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But he is flat out explaining how shitty of a person he is. And now that I
how
know
cool
he did
he
not
he
know
would be
he
in
was,
Toronto.
I hope, I still hope he gets hit by a bus this time. Oh. I hope he doesn't change.
Oh my
He's
God.
Dead in the water. Oh. This guy is treading in a pit that he keeps digging himself because he's just a terrible person. Through and through, every interaction I've seen this guy, I don't see him somehow turning his life around. I don't know what it would take. This guy is a fucking mess. The fact that he's in the top six now that Thomas is so infuriating. He seems like a person, for you at least, and I know he was doing his whole con man thing, that would be, boop, immediately gone. So the last group date is a Market Square stroll. In which it just begins raining.
For some reason in this, it, like while we were walking through the market, multiple vendors were like, Shakira! Yelling, like they thought I was Shakira or something. They kept yelling Shakira at me and I was like, is that a translation to mean something? Like, what does that mean? And then we were like, maybe they just seriously think you're Shakira. She's short. My hair was like super kind of curly because it had been raining.
Curly and blonde.
Blonde.
And I
don't know.
From far away from someone from Morocco, you could be Shakira.
Maybe. Like, it wasn't just once. It was multiple times. And everyone, and
well,
the
they
guys
all hear
were
each
like,
other yelling it. They're like, Shakira? Where? So it starts raining. I'm noticing that all these guys have their pants rolled up. Again, they're yeah. doing this fake capri look, this mm-hmm. fapri. It is just brutal. And it starts to rain, and immediately Drew runs out and does a single stomp in a puddle. Like he's having fun. He goes,
that's like what a sociopath would do to be like,
yeah.
Here, he this is what someone having fun would do. Splash.
He does. He runs out and he goes, splash, and then just walks right back. And you're like, that's not playing. No one, people don't just go, who? One puddle. They're wearing rain boots, first off, and they jump in a bunch of puddles and they're like having fun or they dance in the rain. He just goes, boop, and then just leaves. It's such a weird act.
But what's weirder is.
Okay, Kevin Fire sees that and goes, that's really cool. That's really cool. I'm Kevin. Kevin Strong. Kevin, pick up Jasmine. Kevin, grab Jasmine. Come to puddle. And he just picks you up and slams you down like a gavel.
I was like, what am I watching? I
paused it and looked at Gianna and was like, is this real? And we watched it six times, Jasmine. I think that's one of those moments in which it's a thing that's never happened before in the history of the world. No one in their right mind walks someone out while it's raining to a puddle and goes, I'll pick you up and just, I'm going to jump you. You don't even have to, don't worry about it. I'm going to slam you in the puddle. It's such a fucking, as soon as he did that, I went, whoop, he's gone. It's
like, oh my god, I'm crying.
It's too weird of a thing to do.
He slammed me twice too. He was like splash, splash, and then like ran me back. Like I was like flying in the air. I remember that I wasn't even I was like horizontal as we were running back because of how fast he was running.
I took a picture because I paused and I was laughing about it, and then I looked and it's a picture. Oh my god, I'm gonna post this on the Instagram.
Okay. Oh my god, can I see it?
It's just you being taken.
I look like a witch riding a broomstick, except it's Kevin.
Oh, I'm gonna send this to you. It's the funniest fucking picture I've ever. It's so weird. It could be a meme.
Oh my god.
Anyway, then that fucking happens. Then the rest of the guys go, that was fun. And then you all drink a juice. And then you walk in the rain and you're wearing open toed sandals.
It sucked. And my feet were so slimy feeling.
Yeah, because you're walking through dirty courtyard Moroccan puddles that are brown with dirt just because mm-hmm. there's sand in the air and shit, and you just wade through them, and all the guys step around it, and like Jesus, you just walk right through it, just bloop bloop bloop, just right through it, and just no effect. You just don't care. I was soaked already. You're like, I don't give a fuck.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so I said, we are liking Kevin Fire less and less. Kevin Fire slammed her down like a gavel in the puddle. Kevin Fire looks like he's having a terrible time. Kevin is the best dressed. Kevin P is the best dressed. He is rocking the shit out of that scarf.
We go to this tea ceremony. I love that. You go to the tea ceremony. Fun.
I love that.
Man, do you know how much I drank tea when I was there? It was so good.
I could just sit in Morocco and smoke hookah, vibe out on tea, and just listen to people talk and just look at a square for 15 to 16 hours a day. Easy.
The tea was so good, but also like I would put a ton of sugar in it.
Those sugar cubes are 9 sugar cubes melded together into a sugar rectangular prism. I mean, it was just like, what the hell is that? Just
to explain to everyone, we were learning how to make Moroccan mint tea. Yeah, that was a pretty fun date. I enjoyed it. I had fun with the guys.
Mikkel seems to be the most compatible thus far. I think he's the first conversation you guys have. Again, he's just adorable. You guys are connecting. And, you know, even when you kiss, he's not like, ooh, let me get a little bit more. Ooh, like, he's not like too pushy, at least on camera. Mm-hmm, he's just like, he makes 3 really good kisses, shows you that he cares. And then he's like, I'm back into the conversation. I just really like when people do that.
Yeah. He was not a showy gameplay guy.
All physical. Like, no. Come on, there's time and a place. Read the room. Mm-hmm. Kevin is feeling as jealous as I've ever seen anyone emote ever. I mean, this guy should be next to the dictionary definition of jealous.
He was sulking a lot.
He has a quote that says, I hate it when the other guys are around. Newsflash, you're on a show in which there are, or there were, 20 you know men.
I understood what he meant, and I really, it was part of
You didn't
of
understand
what,
when you talked to him.
Well.
Because you guys have a crazy conversation.
but I did, like, there was something that was, like, appealing to me about the fact that he was having real feelings like that. Because if you're really feeling emotions for someone, real feelings for someone, you're gonna feel that way, right? Like, obviously a lot of them kept it under control. He had a harder time. I think
everyone else kept it under control.
I would have a hard time though. Like, I know I wouldn't be able to handle it. So I guess in a way I was like, it made me feel like he really cared about me a lot.
Yeah.
But that being said, that's often why women end up in tumultuous relationships sometimes, because the guy, you know, you're like, he's jealous. He really cares. It's not always a healthy thing at all. I have to pee really bad. Do you mind?
Oh, boy. All right, do it.
I'm apologizing. I'll be back. Remember where we're at. Don't look at my stupid pajama pants.
Okay, I'm just going to describe it. I know this isn't going to be on the podcast, but Jasmine will most likely hear this. Jasmine is wearing what I would imagine a 76-year-old Japanese housewife to wear just around the house. I mean, they're like flowy pants that match her top. She looks almost like she's wearing some sort of flowy unitard, and I don't really like it. Oh, she's back. Shortest pee break
ever.
I peed real hard. I was pushing.
Oh, boy. All right. We're going to leave that in.
Women know. It's like...
The thing that's interesting about this is each guy kind of gets a little bit of one-on-one in the group date. As each guy goes back, you know, Mikkel gets a kiss. I think Drew doesn't get a kiss. Kevin clearly doesn't get a kiss. Kevin P doesn't get a kiss either. So just Mikkel. And Kevin's super jealous and the other guys are just pissed. And there's this scene of all of them just sitting in the tea room pouring. There'll be a shot of Drew pouring the tea. And the other guys are just like, And then it'll cut to a different scene. And it's like Mikkel pouring the tea. And he's just kind of smiling and being his little darky cute self. And then it'll go to the other guy pouring tea. And they're all just cross-armed, just fucking pissed. It looks like a scene that... like Tarantino would film that lasts 20 minutes long and then all the guys pull guns and just shoot each other to death and then the camera just pans out and goes dark and then it's like
Morocco. I think at this point they were like over, you know,
hanging out and being bros.
Yeah,
they're just done with each other. Kevin P and Jasmine have a good conversation. Drew and Jasmine is tough. It's a really tough one to get into. I have a couple quotes again. Drew says this before the date is commenced. He has, you know, that little interview, and he says, I'm a sales guy. I take courses on body language. I can see in her eyes that she likes me. Uh-huh. He keeps just immediately talking about himself. He just talks about himself, talks about himself, talks about himself. And then you go, all right, do you want to know anything about me? You know, what do you want in this relationship? Oh, well, I want a wife and I want to, you know, I want to be a father and I want to be a coach and I want her to come and drink coffee and we watch him play sports. And I'm like, again, you're just pretty much talking about yourself and what you want in a wife. Like, you're not even asking questions about Jasmine at all. I don't think he's asked you more than one question, which was, what are you looking for? Which is the most bit. It's like, and you're on a fucking show and that's what you should know that a little bit. You should have an inkling.
And when he did talk, it felt like he was just saying what he wanted me. Like, what it was like he was, again, it's like the same way that he jumped in the puddle and was like, this is what people who have fun do.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the way he would talk too, where it's like, this is what people who are nice people and want a relationship say.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have an interview in which you say, it kind of seems like he's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
He's just telling me what I want. You're finally seeing through it because you've had enough time to really process it, because you're only seeing him like very anecdotally. So
it was happening all the time. I was like, dude, when are you, like, I'm having real like, conversations with real? People at this point, like, where are you really?
I looked over at Deanna and I said, if this guy lasts through this episode, I'm texting Jasmine and saying the podcast is done. We can't keep doing this.
Oh my God. Well, I called him out.
You are not a good judge of character.
Listen.
if you continue to have him on.
No. I was definitely seeing through him at that point, and I had had enough.
Anyway, you and Kevin Fire have a short conversation. He's so tight-lipped, you know? I'm like, Kevin, if you want a chance at this, open up. I mean, he's just... And I can tell you're infatuated because you're very... attracted to him, and I could see it physically, I guess. That's a weird thing to say, but I'm like, I could see you guys being a couple. But when he talks, I'm just like, Kevin, like, really? He's just kind of boring. He's like a breeze. I mean, he's just boring. I'm bored with him. I liked him because I was like, oh, he's simple. And then I'm like, oh, he's just simple. So anyway, he has a conversation with you, which he thinks goes fucking fantastically, which shows a little bit of his narcissistic side. Mikkel gets the rose, which I think was 100% the right choice, because Mikkel is just, he shines in the one-on-one times, he shines during the group dates, he's not jealous, like, he's doing all the right things, and it seems genuine, so it's like, of course. And Drew immediately gives an interview about the rose being given to Mikkel, and he goes, that rose was a participation rose for most improved. I think that she wants a final product right from the beginning.
Oh my God.
Said that.
Just goes to show, like, what.
How disconnected that man is. Anyway, we're now on to the cocktail party. Immediately, Drew grabs Jasmine. It takes every bone in my body to not roll my eyes every time he speaks. He thinks that the reason he's here is because he goes deeper in his conversations
than anyone else.
As soon as you start thinking you're absolutely better than anyone else, instead of focusing on winning the person over and making sure you're most compatible, you've lost the game. Mm-hmm. And even if you win, you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
So for Drew to say this is so ironic. This guy's in, again, he's in space thinking that he's having deep conversations. He's in deep space having conversations with you. This guy's a fucking moron. He's, I know I said he's smart. He's stupid. I hope I just get a random DM request one day and it's from like, Drew Fuckface 2350 and he messages me. He's like, "Hey asshole, I'm actually a really good salesman and I worked really hard and I worked really hard for 9 years and I've got a chode and I just want to tell everyone how good I am at everything and I might not be married yet but I want a kid and I want to be a coach." Like, he's gonna just message me and start attacking me and then just start talking about himself. That's what's gonna happen. Oh, I hate him. I hope. Oh, come at me, God. Bro. Come the fuck at me.
Leave me out of it.
I'm gonna leave you. No, 100%. It's just me. So,
it's just boom. Cole does the face when he's doing the Drew impression. Like, he's really getting worked up. And the face he's doing is just something else.
I black out. I become him. I'm like Leo.
I think I need to record that and show everyone because it's worth seeing.
He also has a quote in which he says, "Every time I see her, I'm just being me. That's me." The fuck does that mean? You've admitted to not doing that. And at this point, I kind of realized, oh, he had no idea that he was being recorded when he admitted that he was just fibbing the entire time. And of course, he's dropped some serious hints that he's full of shit. But the scene we talked about earlier in which he admits that this would be good for his career and it kind of seems like that's why he's there, etc. Oh, I'll just tell her exactly what she wants to hear. I can do that. All this different shit. For him to say, "Every time I see her, I'm just being me and that's me," I thought, wow, that's bullshit. And then I go, no, actually, that's right. He's lying to you. He's being, like, he is being his true self.
That must be the most true statement he's made.
That is really him. Wow, just fascinating. This man needs to be studied. Oh, boy. So anyway, Kevin P and Jasmine have a little one-on-one, and the sound guy, a little guy who scores the episode, goes,
"Bring." Oh, and you know what that means.
But it was before the kiss. Oh, usually it happens right at the kiss, like right as the bring, and it happens, and I love it. And it happens like 45 seconds before the kiss, and then he goes, "You know what?" And he kisses you really well. I did a fake little tongue flap there. But he kisses you very well, and I go, finally.
And you know what? That was mine and Kevin P's first kiss, which I have to say, in all of Bachelor history, I mean, I'm not speaking for international versions.
Is it taken that long to have a first kiss, eh?
I think that to get to being the top, what is it, six at this point? Four? I don't...
it's six guys left five? At this point.
Okay, yeah. Six. That's, like, pretty unheard of. And this is a secret little secrety that I don't know if I'm even going to keep in the episode because I'm a little nervous about saying too much. But I hadn't kissed Kevin yet, obviously, and he was someone that I was considering saying goodbye to at this point just because we hadn't really, like, made that connection yet, right? But him and I really started to make that connection. I really didn't like Drew. I really didn't. He was driving me crazy. Yeah. It was very obvious that I didn't really like Drew. And the producers knew that I felt that way, but they had said to me, like, "Do you want to get rid of him bad?" Yeah. So basically it was like, are you going to marry Kevin?
Wait, did you say to do that?
Listen.
Did you say, "We got to get rid of Drew"? And then they were like, "We're going to secretly record him admitting
me." No, they knew. Thing. Wait.
Please tell me that's what happens.
They
the production team's not my favorite people in the entire world. I love all of them. This is true. Please don't ruin it for me. Please don't ruin it for me.
Just shut up. Let me tell you. They said they knew that I didn't like Drew. They knew. It's not like it was a fucking secret. Like, they knew that at this point I was like, I had enough of Drew. And by the way, I wasn't the only person who hated him. Most of the crew hated him too. He was an asshole to everybody. They knew I wanted to get rid of him, but they were like, "Are you going to marry Kevin P?" And I was like, probably, like, no, obviously probably not. Kevin Peer and I are probably not compatible. And they were like, okay, we know you want to get rid of Drew, then you're going to have to give us more time. So I was like, let's do it. But, I went and did a thing. I went and kissed Kevin P. That was not planned. It just happened. And I realized in that moment that I really actually liked Kevin P. Like, it kind of ruined what I had sort of planned for the evening.
What did you have planned? Can you tell me?
Well, what I had planned was to say goodbye to Kevin P. and keep Drew for another episode, which would have meant the end of this, because we were going to get rid of him in a worse way. I can't even confirm. The only thing that I know for sure is that I was told if I just gave them some time, they could set it up for me to get rid of him in a way that was more satisfying for me. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I was like, give it to me, you know? I didn't really want to keep him around another week, but I was also like, all right, you're nice right. I'm probably not going to marry Kevin P. Sure, I guess I might as well say goodbye to him the week before. But then I kissed him, and it totally ruined everything. And I was brought into a room to be like, all right, well, what'd you just do? Most of the time, I was trying to be pretty compliant, and I was trying to, I don't know, like, go with the flow, and everything seemed to be what I wanted anyway. But this time, it really wasn't. Like, the thing about Drew was just, like, I didn't want to play that game anymore, and so I kissed Kevin, and that was it. And then it was time to say goodbye. There was no choice. It would have made sense. So Drew was gone.
It was gone. Oddly bittersweet to see Drew leave.
Yeah, I understand.
Because I was like, that's so much of what I talk about on this podcast is how much I hate him. And I think I might just keep bringing things up. Like, I want to unearth some. I might look up his, like, Wikipedia or something, or, like, find some information and just Wikipedia. Talk about it. He might. He's the author of it, but yeah. So you bring Kevin Fire into the room, and you guys have a little bit of a one-on-one at the cocktail party. Kevin is basically complaining about not getting the rose during the date, and he's pretty much telling you, we had such a deep conversation that I felt like I deserved the rose, and that's an okay thing to say. But if someone responds to you and explains, well, actually, I'm having deep conversations with other people as well, and maybe I'm having a deeper conversation with someone, and I think they're more deserving of a rose, you can't be mad at that. You're just explaining yourself and what actually happened, and he just reacts with anger and frustration and confusion and doesn't know how to formulate an actual constructive conversation with you. And it escalates to kind of an argument. I go, you guys are dating, well, I guess, because you're dating six people. But
as soon as someone comes at me with anger and, like, hostility in their voice, I immediately become defensive. That's like a fault of mine, honestly. But in this situation, I really was like, You handle it really well.
If you're saying, I mean, obviously you're being defensive, but you handle it with a pretty cool head as to what's shown on the show, because you immediately challenge him on it, and you're like, well, okay. And then he just keeps interrupting you, and I'm like, dude, have you spoken to a person in a while? Like, what are we doing right now? It's just, I just watched this man crumble down. It was like this statue I had built of him outside of the Parthenon, and he just was been bit by bit crumbling and falling over, and this was just the final rope around the neck pulling the statue of a man down. And I just, like, I don't like him at all. He needs to seriously recover from this. I knew he probably wasn't going to be sent home because Drew had to go, but I was, I don't even know what's going to happen next episode, because that guy's got to do some serious backtracking to figure that shit out.
Well, it was weird. I mean, it was so intense. It was the most real conversation I'd ever had on this show. I felt like I was like triggered into this, like, sort of, I don't know.
You get into, like, an adrenaline mode.
Yes,
almost.
100%. Yeah, yes, where you're just, I was, like, boom, 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 yeah, boom. I was actually so angry. It felt like I was having a fight with a boyfriend. And then I remember after he walked out of this room, he went past this curtain. There was this heavy curtain there. And I was sitting on this couch, and the camera guy's there, and there's someone else. There were a couple people in the room. And I was just sitting on this couch, stewing, just sitting there, like, silent. And the cameras are just pointed on me. Sitting there, no one comes in, no one interrupts, no one says anything. The guy with the fucking camera and the sound guy's there, and I'm just sitting there. They're just sitting there, sitting on me for so long. It felt like it was like 10 minutes of them just, like, camera on me.
She gonna do anything
not
else?
Moving. And then finally, I think I must have got up or something, but It was weird, actually. I remember having that, like, drawback to reality where I was like, I'm sitting in a room and these are other human beings here who had just watched that happen, who are now sitting there with me, and we're like all three or all four of us or however many of us were in that space just in silence. But clearly they're being instructed to just keep the camera on me. 100%. Yeah. And I just, you can see it on my face, but I was very annoyed.
You were frustrated. I was frustrated with you. So anyway, the rose ceremony commences. Kevin looks like a wounded puppy. Kevin P, first pick. Whoa, 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 whoa. Pretty exciting. I know there's no relevancy to who is selected first, but I was like, wow, Kevin P is safe. Second rose goes to Kevin Fire, and you give the rose to... This is one of the best parts ever. Now that I know what you've told me about the whole, like, Drew debacle, and that you kind of told production, like, fuck this guy a little bit. Like, I don't know how I'm feeling about him. He might want to have to go home or whatever. Like, you're just kind of itching at the idea that you don't really like Drew and he's probably going to get axed. You give the rose to Kevin Fire. And right then, Kevin Fire kind of goes, oh, okay, and kind of turns away. And right then, Noah Kapp walks in, all 8'7" of him, and he stands next to you, and you kind of turn from your action of giving the rose away, and you just go, and you put your hands on your hips.
I know, I was so excited.
And you,
like,
do this, like, superwoman pose. And Drew's just looking there going... He's just inside of his mind. If the camera were to zoom in through his skull, it would just be a nuclear bomb. And just like, oh, just sadness. I mean, the guy's just like, he was so confident that he was just going to crush us. No problem at all. Oh, I'm going to get the girl, this and that. We need to talk about all of the things that Drew said on his way out.
Dance. Yes, he had a gigantic hissy fit, which we can talk about, but I will also just let you know, little BTS tidbit, all of the crew after he left were like high-fiving and stuff. It was a celebration. It was a celebration.
Well, you get to see a little bit of his interaction with the crew. Oh, I wish I would have written down every quote, but there was too many. He fired them off. Quote after quote of just despicable things. He has a very quick interaction with you, and he comes up and goes, yeah, okay, all right. I don't even know what he said. Like, he was just like, I wish you all the best. And then he just leaves. Like, he's just gone. Mm-hmm. He needs to get out of there because his fuse is right down to the stub. I mean, this guy's about to fucking explode. And he goes through a door, and a PA is clearly following him because they're like, we got to make sure this guy doesn't burn down the building. And... he goes into a corner and he turns around to the PA and he goes, she's gonna pick half those guys over me? Are you fucking serious? Are you fucking serious? He says, are you serious, so many times. I just wanted the PA to go, I'm serious. It would have been game changing to have him go, yeah, yeah, you're a dick. Like, just someone to tell him he's an asshole on the show. Yeah. Oh my God. But he says that. He also is walking down the steps and the same PA is following him. And he goes, mark my words, your ratings are going to go down after this episode. Which, honestly, they might have, because less people are just like, that was he was such a dick. He's being him.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there anything else? He called me stupid or something, or called me.
She's a fucking idiot. She's right. Not picking me.
Yeah.
He also said, the princess didn't give me enough time to show my emotional side. I'm like, she gave you plenty of fucking chances.
I wish he would have said any of this to my face. I really wish he had. He would not have been a match for me if he had said any of this to my face. And you know what? I was told that he said some racist shit about Mikkel. He's lucky they didn't include everything that he said.
The last quote from Drew before he leaves is, if you walk into a bar with me and any of these other guys, I walk out with the girl.
God.
What the fuck? I'd love to try all of his hypotheses out. I mean, I would love to just test this out.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Thank God Drew is gone. I rue the day that we ever talk about this man again. But weirdly enough, it's a little bittersweet having him leave because he's such a supplier of ridiculous shit. It's like Donald Trump leaving office. I'm like, I don't even read the newspaper anymore because there's not a crazy fucking thing happening.
It's a great comparison, actually.
Yeah, he's very Trumpian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that is episode 6, first week in Morocco. Drew and Thomas have been eliminated. Drew through the rose removal ceremony, and Thomas in the middle of a desert. We're going to be back later this week with episode 7, in which you guys continue your escapades throughout Morocco. I'm very excited to hear about it.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a good time. Very pumped about it.
Thanks, everyone, for being here. Please subscribe. Yes. We love you. You know we do. We really
please.
Okay. Not in a creepy way, but we really do. Okay. I'll talk to you later.